Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Can you hear it? Try it. Put your headphones on. It says that your stream. I'm going to call in to see if I can hear you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here live on Wednesday, February the 7th of 2024. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. It is great to be with you. However you may be tuning in, however you may be accessing the program, I'm just grateful to God that you have decided to tune in to the program. I'm grateful that you've determined.
I am so grateful that I can be here and hear
you. Are you hearing it on your phone?
And I can hear you, Mr. Ritter.
Yay! That's good to know. We just had a little... Well, glitch sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just the way technology is. Sometimes there's glitches. Sometimes we don't know why there's glitches in it. Sometimes we don't know why. We can do everything right. And sometimes, for whatever reason, it just doesn't want to work right.
And we can still praise the Lord through
it. We can still praise the Lord through it. You say, why are we doing that thing with your voice? Boys, are you angry? No, I'm not angry. I was doing it to be funny. This lawyer said tonight that just doesn't work right. You know, and sometimes sometimes with technology, sometimes you just don't know. You know, and you always hope it works. You always think it'll work. Normally it works. But every once in a while it just decides, no, I got a mind on my own today. And it's like, I mean, some people are like that. Or like maybe they just got a mind of their own, maybe like in their mind or whatever. They just don't feel motivated. Maybe that's what's up with my little speaker thing. Maybe it's just not motivated today to work.
There you go. It needs a nap.
Maybe it's listening to something called the demotivator and it needs to hear the motivator.
There you go.
Because if you hear something called the demotivator, what does that do? It makes you not be motivated to work right, you know, to do the stuff that you're supposed to do, for it to do the stuff that it's supposed to do, you know?
Right, and we need to get it re-motivated.
Re-motivated, yay! Okay, I have a question for all your listeners. Where does someone go to learn how to make a banana split?
Where?
Sunday school.
That's a good one, Mr. Evers.
Your fun of the week brought to you by your local Planet Fitness. The Planet Fitness where I go to here in Midland has a board, and on it, on one side is like a message or something like, you know, the gym will be blah, 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 blah. The other side has a pun. And generally, about once a week, the pun has changed. And it's something they started doing back about a year and a half ago. And one time I was with somebody and we noticed it. And they started telling me the jokes. And I thought it was pretty cool when we started seeing that. And so, personally, I don't know about you, but I have fun with it. And then someone else told me, someone who helps me and is a listener on the show, Laura, she told me she had seen a pun on a piece of paper before at a gas station in Coleman, Michigan, a town about, you know, 20 minutes west-northwest of here. And she was saying that a gas station out there had a pun on a piece of paper. But the last time she was even there was like a year ago. But they were doing it. Have you ever heard of any other places doing puns like that?
I have heard of some churches doing puns on some of their outside signs.
One in Midland, I saw one about 20 years ago that said, "Are you dealing with truth decay? Brush up on your Bible."
Oh, that's cute.
Now when I think about that, I think every church needs to have that sign. It should always be up there as a reminder.
That would be a good one to have.
And here's why. It's even more relevant now when you have more and more of these user-friendly, seeker-sensitive churches. Well, no, they're not God-sensitive. They're seeker-sensitive, looking for, you know, they just want to get people in the chairs. And they want to have this, some of them want to have this light show and pyrotechnics in by 10, out by 11. Three hims, three hers, take up the offertory, no anointing, no power. Read the last rites and end the service. You say, how did the hers factor in? I don't know, I made that up, but like, you know, the three hymns, take up the offering, you know, maybe a 3-minute, maybe a 5-minute message of some kind, but with no anointing in it.
Right.
You know, 3 points in a poem.
I gotcha.
And all that kind of stuff like that, that, you know, someone just wrote up, there's no anointing in it, it could all be memorized, shout, taught tongue, learn dance. Oh, by the way, that's if they even shout. Some church, R.W. Schambach told a story once about, now this didn't happen at the church where Schambach was, but he heard about this. So one time, this guy's in the church, and then, you know, they had this one pastor, and in this church, they, you know, this Baptist church or whatever it was, they used to shout, they used to holler, they used to get excited, they used to get in the spirit, they got wrong in the spirit, and all that kind of stuff. And then, this new pastor comes in. And he had spent some time in seminary. You say, why'd you call seminary a seminary? Cemetery. Because sometimes it's just real quiet, lame stuff that comes out of there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yep. So he comes out of seminary. And this pastor comes in and he says, things are going to be different around here. He says, well, for one thing, there'll be no shout. There'll be no shouting. There'll be no dancing. After a couple weeks, a few weeks or so, maybe a month or so, he gets that church calmed down and quiet. And he sits down and, you know, he teaches the people. And, but then 6 months later, this old deacon gets up and he goes, well, glory! And this pastor goes, well, I don't know what I said. I don't know what I did. And he's saying, well, I said there'd be no more shouting. And he said, I don't know. The guy says, I don't know. Then he ends up, you know, but I think that's a cool story. And, you know, he got healed of some stuff. And that was pretty cool. Because don't think you can have control over the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost moves, you just let him do what he does. That's what I have to say about that. And so, but like I was saying, you know, there's churches that could use some of these pumpings, like that thing of if you're dealing with truth decay, brush up on your Bible, read your Bible more. Not less. Don't lay it down. You know what else you shouldn't do? Don't fall for these perversions of the Bible, like versions like where they try to change what the verse says or take the verse out or whatever. No, don't be reading the perversions, because they're not good. You say, do you really call certain versions of the Bible perversions? I just did. Why? Because some of them are messed up. And I'm not afraid to call it for what it is. Not. So, but anyhow, what they're going to say. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I was going to say, you know, it's important that you find yourself in not just a church, but a church where there's life. A church that's not a quote-unquote dead church, where there's no miracles, no anointing, no power. Where everything is just scripted. I mean, yes, you want to have an order of service, but still want to have room for the anointing, for God to move. And in our kind of churches, you know, there's got to be times where the pastor will feed the congregation. So it won't necessarily be a Holy Ghost blowout every service by any means, because got to be able to feed the people and teach and preach and bring the Word of God to them. And that's what I do on here, is I bring you the Word of God and faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I believe if you want to receive your miracle, you have to have your faith built up. You got to have faith in him that he will do what he said in his word that he would do. And you got to have that in your mind, that he wants to move on your behalf. He does. But he wants you to trust in him. He wants you to believe in him, and that you don't have all these doubts and unbelief against him. Thinking, you know, or these thoughts of, I don't know if he's good for it or not. I don't know if his promises are yes and amen or what they are. But it's worth a try. Well, if you decide it's worth a try, then guess what? Hopefully you'll find that it's not just a try. It works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not spending this time bringing you stuff that doesn't work. I'm not doing that. I bring you this word of God. I talk to you about faith like this. Why? Because it works. It works. Amen. It works.
Amen.
And we've seen miracles in my family and in my own life, because we have faith. We believed in his word. Believed that he was good for it. That his promises were not just some made up things. And or some things that were, as people like to say, too good to be true. You know, if you ever see a commercial or hear commercial for like a low price on something or a this or a that or a low interest rate or a nice this or that or wonderful or a lot of different things. And a lot of times you might hear the phrase, well, that sounds too good to be true. I got a word for you. These promises that God made for us, they are not too good to be true. They're true. And they are great. They are super good. They are wonderful. You know what I say? Oh, it's too good to believe. No, it's too good to not believe. It's too good to not believe. We have someone who's had a spirit of death on him four different times, they end up not dying. You know, that's a sign. This belief in God works. The miracle worker power works.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it works. There's nothing you're going through that's too big for God. Nothing.
Say it again.
There is nothing that's too big for God to fix on your behalf. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much stuff you're going through. I want to believe God with you, but to God, all things are possible for God.
All things are possible for him.
You know, there's certain things for us that are impossible. We can't do it because we can't do God's part even if we wanted to. We can't. God does his part. We do our part. And no, we can't raise the dead with our own hands. We can't.
You're speaking truth tonight.
He can. I can't heal somebody's back or neck or something like that. I can't heal somebody's body. But you know what? I can speak the word and you'll be healed that way. Amen. I know this stuff. It's true.
All
things through him.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say, well, some of you may say, Miracle Man, what about your Super Bowl pick? I'll do that at the end of the show. I'll do my Super Bowl pick. But, you know, for right now, I'm just, you know, kind of sharing my heart with you.
God must have known somebody needed to hear that. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Rivers.
And I'm gonna start dealing with some of the miracles of Jesus. Again, we're gonna get back to some, you know, teaching on different miracles of Jesus. And it's been a little while, but we're going to do that because it's great to have proof. By proof, I mean, you know, to go through sometimes some proof in your Bible because we talk about it, but like, where is it? You know, because we have listeners tune in from time to time that are new. Some of them might be new Christians. They might be baby Christians just giving their life to Jesus. And I want them to know this stuff. And yes, knowing my Jesus is wonderful. It's awesome. It's the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
I also want them to know that my Jesus can do miracles. We didn't call it this program when we launched it. We didn't call it the Miracle Man program by accident. We didn't just go, oh, it's a mistake. Or we didn't even go, oh, it sounds cool, but why would we call it that? Oh, I've seen the miracles.
Amen.
Which leads me to my book, Rivers of Miracles.
6:51 p.m.
Rivers of Miracles is the book, you know, that we've written. Okay, my mom ultimately wrote the book, but it's about me. So I always, when I talk about it on here, I always say, you know, it's my book. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book. And you see, these chapters are put in as miracles rather than chapters. And there's even financial miracles in there, like where, you know, things like that. There's things about, you know, a thing that my mom has prayed over me before. Heal him or take him home. Heal him or take him home. Yes, she did that. Yes, she prayed that. You know what? I'm not in heaven yet. What I mean by that is, I mean, you know, my future is heaven, but I'm still walking upon this earth. I'm still talking to all of you.
Praise Jesus.
Which tells me God has a plan to continue healing me, which is not an accident. It's not an accident. If I really thought it was one, I don't think it's an accident. And I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself because I don't have that reason to. You know, and I love the Lord. I do. And I'm doing what I believe my call is right now at this moment in my life, which is to reach people you know, via broadcasting. Amen. 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 And amen.
And one more from me. Amen.
Yep. And I know that his promises are not void. They're not void. They are yes and amen. And you go online to the website, Rivers of Miracles. That is Rivers with an I of miracles.com. And you can go online right there and buy the book. And I'm believing God to get my hands for at least twice as many books to go out this year as what have went out in the previous, you know, 3.5 years since it was written, 4.5 years since it was written combined. I'm believing God for that. More in 24. No, more not more despair, not more discouragement. No, more blessing.
Amen.
For more people to hear about these miracles, for more, you know, for more people to read this book. And amen. And so, you know, I just thank God for his miracle working power. And one of the other things you think about with the book, you're getting a 2-for-1 automatically. So what do you mean it's 2-for-1? No, it's not the price of the book. You buy one book, you know, you buy another book if you want. But the 2-for-1 that I'm referring to is not only do you get my testimony about the healings that have happened in my life, you get my mom's testimony too, and how she got freed and delivered from some things and gave her life to Christ before she had me. So you are getting two testimonies for the price of one. And when you think, but when you think about it, our testimonies are still being written. You know, our life is a testimony, isn't it? Our life is a testimony.
Yes, it is.
That in heaven, I can't wait, you know, when in eternity to get to hear people's testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who I might have never met on earth, and to get to hear all their testimonies, and get to ask them about them, you know. Well, you know, what's your greatest testimony? What did God do? You know, I can't wait for the wonderful things that I'll get to hear. And then I'll be able to say, oh, yeah? Well, God did this. Then he did this. And he did this. And so... but you can go online to the website, buy the book. You know, you won't feel bad you read the book. You will not feel bad that you read the book. And my hope is that it will increase your faith. It'll make you realize that this God that we serve, this God that I talk about all the time on this program, this Jesus that we sing about on this program, it's for real. I'm not coming on here every Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night and making this stuff up. Oh, no, 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 no. This stuff is for real. This Jesus, it's real.
Amen.
And when you give somebody the book, it's a great opportunity, you know, to help win somebody to God, to Jesus. Because ultimately, through this, I want to see people give their lives to Jesus and be able to know, you know, these people made heaven. I believe my reward in heaven is going to be great. Is what I personally believe. And I believe, you know, on earth, I might not know about all the souls that I won for his kingdom. But I am like for sure that people have tuned into this program and given their lives to Jesus over the years. I'm sure we've had salvations. I'm sure of it. Now, the other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program. If you want to sow a financial seed, it's a blessing. I am not going to sit here and tell you how much to give. I am absolutely no pressure. If there's any pressure, not for me, because I'm not doing the pressure thing. And I'm not going to turn my episodes into fundraisers, and I'm not going to bring auctioneers on here to do this thing of 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, 7.5, 9.5, 10.5, 11.5, 12.5, 13.5, you know, like those guys at the fair. They'll be in there. People will be auctioning off their animals. I got to hear it last year at the fair when people were having their animals auctioned off. Some of these kids, they're not so happy when their animals are being auctioned off. Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
Have you actually been in the barns when the animals are being auctioned off?
I've been one of the kids who had their animals auctioned off.
Was there a guy that was like rapping? Was there a guy when you were there that was like rapping as he was doing the numbers, like 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, 8.5,
Was there a guy doing it like that or not quite like that?
Yeah, he was doing it like that. That's how they option.
At one point when I heard it, people were literally clapping as the numbers were getting higher.
Yeah, some people do.
Yeah, you noticed that too when they were in there doing that?
Yeah.
Like they...
They enjoy it. A lot of people find auctions fun.
But I think they were clapping because they knew the numbers were going higher.
Well, yeah, some people enjoy that part too.
You thought they were doing like because he kept going and going and going, so it made it, you know.
There's a wide variety why people do that.
Did yours go for something real high or was yours kind of medium?
Mine was more medium on the medium side.
What? Yeah. Why wasn't it real high?
We had a lot of tough competition that year.
So yours was right in the middle?
Yeah.
You couldn't get... So the low and the high were actually rather close?
Pretty much, yeah.
Any that were real high?
It was just a real slow year that year, Riz.
What do you mean?
It was just a real slow year for the auction that year.
Was this like 2000 or so?
It was like 2003, 2004, something like that.
Even though it might have been an average year for the Midway, why was it slow for auction?
I'm not sure. What was this pertaining to the?
I was just curious. I was only saying that because, like, I was just saying we're not doing auctioneers on my program.
Right.
Nonetheless, we're still not bringing them on here.
Right.
you know, if you want that, go to an auctioneer who has a radio broadcast, and you can do that on his show all you want.
There you go.
But I'm not going to do that here to raise money. God's people sow seed. Is how I believe it's done. You know, God's people sow seed. And I believe this is fertile, good ground. It's not thorny. It's not rocky. It's not just the path where birds fall and where birds come and just eat it. Nope, fertile ground. That's what I believe. You can go online to PayPal to sow your seed. In the search bar, you'll type in Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing related to that I want to remind you is that the first town, Rivers, is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla. And there's a space between Rivers and Shukla, so... make a note of that, if you would, please. Now I'm going to... sing a couple songs and then get into the Word of God for tonight. The Lord has for us for tonight. Your word is your beauty for ashes, as good as mine. Your love is enduring. Through the winter rain, you give beauty for ashes, faithful through today. Freedom in my hand, freedom you will live, precious to me. And that's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will
ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your love is enduring through the winter rain, and beautiful ashes. You give in me life, you clothe me in white, goodness. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be, righteousness through me, and that's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Refuge and strength always.
I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Oh. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Oh, my God, he will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Always I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, from you, Lord. My help comes from you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear, silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh. The God who was and is to come, the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. God who was and is to come. Power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master, that your hand is on us. It's great to serve you. It is great to serve you, Master. It's great to know that you are Lord. It's great to know that you are the miracle-working God. Thank you for what you're doing for each and every person who has tuned into this program tonight. Thank you that you are meeting them right where they are. Thank you, Master, that you know what they have need of. Thank you that you are meeting their needs right where they sit. Thank you that you're healing their bodies. You're strengthening their mind. That you are meeting their needs, whatever these needs are. I don't know what they need, but you know what they need. And I thank you that you are meeting their needs tonight. Because you're Jehovah Rapha, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the healer, you're the provider, you're the deliverer. Whatever we need, you have. And I thank you, Lord God. Now I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program. I thank you that finances come into this program. I thank you that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. I want you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bible, to Matthew 14. Praise God. Matthew 14, I'm going to begin with verse 13. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk tonight about, you know, the miracle supply from Jesus. This is the story where he feeds the 5,000. And we're going to look at that tonight. Thank God for his word. I don't know what we on earth we would do without it.
Amen.
And so, can I begin with verse 13? Sorry for the little pause. I was just taking a sip of water. Okay, verse 13 of Matthew 14. And if you got your Bible, listeners, feel free to open it up and read it, you know, so you can see this too. Amen. I mean, verse 13. But it says here, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place here, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said, "Here we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." They answered, "Bring them here to me," he said. He directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave him to the people. They all ate, but were still super hungry because it was... Oh, wait. That's what the human mind says. They set the bread and loaves before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate that day was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Oh, by the way, that was besides women and children. You're looking at anywhere from possibly 7 or 10 up to possibly 20,000 people. You're looking at possibly a basketball arena full of people. Like one of those arenas in a city like Detroit, filling it full of people.
Mm-hmm.
while we're on it, we're going to look at this also, where Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus had the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, if you're wondering what that is, that's basically around like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., somewhere in there. Those O-Dog 30s, like between 3 to, when it would become day again at around 6. Does that sound about right, Jay, for fourth watch of the night?
Yeah.
So in other words, like, I would say it was 3 something, just to be fair. But I don't know, maybe it was 5:58, I don't know. But it says here, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked down on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country and brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched them. Before we even get to the 5,000, I want to mention this last verse that we read, where it talks about how those men, like the leaders, you know, like the government, like the leaders of that area, like the little, I don't know, townspeople, the, you know, basically those in charge of that area, that little area. Like the governors and what have you. Does that make sense? Like the local government?
Mm-hmm.
So these local government people, and they basically said, like, "We're not going to be the common. We'll bring the sick. All they have to do is, you know." And they just touched his cloak. They just touched his garment, his cloak. You know what happened? Those who touched him were healed. You see, folks, you can get that close to Jesus that you just touch him. Just feel it's like you're touching him. Touching his garment. Like the woman with the issue of blood. You see, it's a point of contact. We saw what they tried to do with COVID. They didn't want no points of contact. You know, sometimes to be healed, you know, and if you want to do what you want to do, sometimes it requires that point of contact. Yet during COVID, they'd want to separate everybody. But, you know, and some, you shouldn't be afraid just to go up, you know, just to go get yourself prayed over. If you're sick in your body or whatever, sometimes the point of contact just really makes a difference. And if it's in the house of God and it's up there at that altar, the altar is where the presence of God is. Ultimately, I mean, it's in the building, even if you stay at your seat. But I'm just saying, ultimately, oh, just a side note. But so there are these loaves of fish, loaves of bread, and five loaves of bread, two fish. A little boy's lunch. Little boy packs a lunch for himself. I hope they weren't tiny little pieces of bread. I mean, if they were loaves of bread, I don't know why the boy was going to eat five full loaves of bread. I don't know. When I think of possibly 20,000 people in there, essentially a Pistons stadium, if the Pistons were doing good. Right now they're not. They're doing terrible. You see like 20,000 people. You think five loaves of bread and two small fish is going to feed up to 20,000 people?
No,
it's not. If all 20,000 people go to a place that has fish sandwiches in a stadium, guess what? They'll be out of food, right?
Yeah, very quickly.
If all 20,000 people. But guess what? There was enough for all those people. For all those people to have enough. And there were 12 basketfuls. I don't think they were little tiny baskets either.
I don't think so either.
I think they were these big giant baskets.
I think you are correct.
And they were full of broken pieces that were left over. And here's what and people can call it whatever they want to call it, but he lifted that food up to heaven. Here's what I don't think happened. I don't just think it's something like, phew! And it all just flows, and it just all gets stretched out. Phew! Oh, excuse me, I'm full. It just flies on. No. But you see, it was multiplied. God stretched that supply so it didn't run out. He stretched it. I've heard of stories where that happened with people's meds.
Yeah.
I really did. I've heard of, you look at in the Bible what happened with Elijah. You know, that prophet of God and what happened with that lady. And there kept being enough food for that family. There kept being enough food. It didn't dry up. There kept being enough for them. They kept having their little pancakey thingy. But it wasn't blueberry pancakes, so they didn't have syrup on it.
Aw, man.
You know, but it was what they had. But see that God used a Long John Silver's meal or a lobster or somewhere else and stretched it like that. Granted, Long John Silver's, I don't think they have a sandwich. Most of their stuff is all like pieces of fish, pieces of chicken, They don't have many sandwiches there that I know of. You don't know really any either, do you?
I have no idea. I don't go there often. You know, they have a taco.
Oh, fish taco. Yay! I hope it's big.
It's pretty big.
Yay! But nonetheless, you know, God used that stuff. Chances are it wasn't from a deep fryer or an air fryer, but in that time, you know, it was food. They ate it. It was enough for them. They were satisfied, and they pick up all the stuff that was left over. They go into a boat, and then they go on a boat to go to the next place, to start going to the next place, and he goes and prays. Later, he uses part of this as a teaching lesson. Later, when they're on a different boat, you know, and stuff. And he's asking them why are they grumbling and stuff, and they said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. And it's like, remember the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you took up, you picked up? And they answered. And then he said, what about 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many pieces did you pick up? And they said, right. And then I was like, oh, see? Like, and he used that whole thing as a lesson for him. And he multiplied it. He multiplied that food. He can multiply your increase. He can multiply it for you. Okay, let's do math. What's one plus one?
2.
Oh, what's one times one?
1.
Nope, that doesn't do anything for you. Okay, what is 10 plus 10?
10.
What, 10 times 10?
100.
We're getting there. Oh, that's more. Okay, what's 100?
Okay,
what's 100?
I'm not good at math here. 200.
200. Okay, what's 100 times 100? I mean, what's 100 times 100? 10,000. No, see, now we're getting there. Now you're getting into that multiplication, that increase. Pastor does that, you know, sometimes. I think it's funny when he does it, but, you know, it's true. And that's where you see that multiplication. And that's what God wants to do. Because at first you go, well, it's just, you know. But then you see that multiplication. You see, God wants to multiply you. He wants to do those miracles that you believe for beyond what you can ask or think. And then you see when they're on the road to the next place. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. They're on the boat. It says fourth watch of the night, so to me, I'm going to presume it's like anywhere between 3 and like, it'll go up to like 5:59, but I'll be safe and say it's like, you know, 3:30, 4, 4:30, anywhere in there. So it's middle of the night, and they're on the boat. It's pitch black darkness. And the wind's blowing and all that kind of stuff. They see Jesus, but they say, it's a ghost! They literally say, it's a ghost. Then he said, no. Jesus says, it is I. But who would say it now? It's me. Don't be afraid. And of course, Peter has this idea of, if it's really you, prove it. If it's you, tell me to walk on the water, to come to you. So he tells him. He comes out of the boat. Peter does. He tries to walk to him. But then he sees the wind and he gets a fright. He starts to sink. Lord, save me! And Jesus is asking him, you know, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt me? Why didn't you just trust me? You know, as great as these disciples were, they didn't have the faith. I mean, they didn't have, they were not able, like, to read their Bibles like what we have today. They didn't necessarily write notes. They didn't have a cheat sheet of notes to go to about faith and trusting in Jesus yet. I mean, they didn't have the, they didn't have it. You know, so they get in the boat, he calms the storm, they trust him. Sometimes we go through life, some of the stuff we'll go through, most of us will go through something that's turbulent at some point. What do I mean? It's rough. We don't know what to do. Feels like the waves are crashing. It's like, what do you do? Do you trust Jesus? Or do you cry for help and possibly even feel like it's the end? And he cried out for help. Had they had the faith, they would have said, Jesus, I know that you can calm the storm. I know you can calm the storm. And I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You know? You know? And so he calms that storm. And those who are on the boat with them, they all say, they're all like, surely he is the Son of God. Like, if he can calm the storm, he is the Son of God. But they weren't trusting him right before the fact. Before the fact, they were screaming about how it was a ghost. Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Like before that, while the storm is raging, they're screaming about how it's a ghost. And I imagine it was louder than what I made it when I was like, it's a ghost. I imagine they were louder. Some of them were yelling louder. Like yelling at the top of their lungs, I imagine. You know, and they're like, it's not like they want to die out there. So they're all like, help. You know, they're all like, what am I gonna do? But, and it's not like they could pray in tongues yet, because the Acts hadn't come yet. Because now, for us, that's where you get to the praying in tongues and all that, and I mean, you should have a prayer language and pray in tongues anyway, but I just mean, you know, a lot of times what people who are born again and spirit-filled do when they're going through something real rough, they get to praying in tongues, which is wonderful, but my point is the disciples of Jesus, they didn't have the things that we have. When the Bible talks about having faith in him, and if we just have faith in God, then we can receive what we're believing for. If we have faith in him and are obedient and all that, that means you know, if we have faith in him, that trust that he will do what he said in his word.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
Do you see my phone?
I do not. It's 10 to 8.
Oh, whoops. I'm sorry. But if you have faith in him, and you have faith trusting the Lord, knowing that he will do what he said in his word, then you will receive what you're believing for. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you that these people will be those who do it and not just be those who hear it, but don't do anything about it. Thank you that we would trust you in our lives, that we would follow you, and that we would be those who receive from you. And that we would be those who don't take you for granted or your word for granted. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, we have the Super Bowl Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. I will be watching it. You got the Chiefs taking on the 49ers. For the Chiefs, it's their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. If the Chiefs get it, if the Chiefs win, it'll be Patrick Mahomes' third ring. If the 49ers get it, it'll be their first Super Bowl win since the 1990s. Their first one in just about 30 years. When I look at this one, my ultimate prediction Gold Rush 28, Hail to the Chief 24. I think the 49ers will beat the Chiefs 28-24. It's my honest prediction. And assuming that that's what happens, in my mind, what that would do for the Lions is it would show the Lions, in fact, lost to the best. But if the Chiefs win, then we'll be able to look back to, as Lions fans, we'll be able to look back to the first game of the season, and we'll be able to say, well, in the regular season, we actually beat what would go on to be back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Because not only did they play right before, playing the Super Bowl before the Lions-Chiefs game, but they played in this one, which will be Sunday. Well, then, by what I mean by that is, I mean the Chiefs. The Chiefs won this Super Bowl too. And here's the thing. Sometimes you have to be the best. You have to be the best to beat the best. Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
And we can use that as a motivator. Both ways. For next year. And if this team can stay healthy and stay together, depending on how free agency goes, I think we have a great shot to be right back where we were, and this time get ahead, hopefully. I really do. I like the amount of poise that they showed. I loved it. It was a great year to be a Lions fan. It really was.
Agreed.
I mean, yep. I'm sure there's some of us who kind of might have abandoned the team and Told me I would have said, you know, welcome back. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, Super Bowl, you know, it'll be a great game, I feel like. And we're going to have fun, but no sin. So don't be, you know, we can have fun in that. We just don't got to do it bad, wrong. Amen. We just don't got to do it bad. So, I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us and no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have, Jesus. You have given your angels all around us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no murderer, no suicide, no terrorist, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to be in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for our Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I sure love you, listeners. Amen. Until next time, until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.